हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So page 98 The Sutrakar indicates that the next three sutras show the faults in ascribing agency to Prakriti. Sutra 2335. Upalabdhi va ani yamaha. Upalabdhi, consciousness, thought, light, ani yamaha, uncertainty. Prakriti cannot be the agent since there would be unrestricted experience in all humans, since Prakriti is all-pervading. Because right, then you're in contact with Prakriti, and then there's the consciousness of Prakriti. Then you have the problem that all living entities would be able to experience whatever's happening anywhere in the... Does that make sense? Just like you're dealing with a person. Okay? Now, you're having that direct interaction at that point. But you can also perceive other things in their moods and all that of interactions in other areas. No? So, if you're dealing with Prakriti being conscious, then to be able to be the agent, because you have to have consciousness for there to be action, then that would mean you would get these experiences of all these other things. Right? And when you're dealing with one person, they're only dealing in a limited amount of things. So Prakriti's dealing in everything. Right? But we don't get that. You know, that doesn't happen. It's just you interact with dead matter and that's it. Does that make sense?
I don't see the connection. Prakriti is one thing, we are another thing.
Just like, let's say you're talking with somebody and you can see, oh, there's something on your mind, there's something wrong. So if Prakriti is conscious, you would be able to perceive all those things. You understand? So when you go in the morning, you go to the toaster and all that, then you could, oh, what's wrong? you understand? So that's there, and we're dealing with a person, and they're only having their own experience, and we can perceive that.
Why is this connected to Prakriti?
Because they're saying that this soul can't be the active one, so it has to be Prakriti. See what happens is that you have these three, Achit and Ishwara, right?
Yes.
And so then, in this, then in the proper position, then Chit's the soul, which is a part and parcel of the Lord. So they're conscious, they're part of the Lord at the same time as they're non-different, they're also different, because they're individually conscious. And you have Prakriti, which is then also the Lord's energy, which is transforming, and that's what makes up what you see here in this world, right? Because it's the transformation of the Lord's energy, and the energy is non-different from the Lord. At the same time, it's different, right? And the Lord, He's the controller of both, so He's beyond. So even though He controls material energy, He's not controlled by it. He's unaffected by it. Right, because the source is coming from Him. So there's nothing for Him in matter of interest. Just like if in the spiritual world, it's not the forms and other things like that that are attractive to Krishna. Right? It's the interaction based on the devotion that's of interest. Right? And that's the superior energy. So why would material energy, which you're not dealing with Rasa at all, and it's only the external forms and actions, why would that be of any interest to Krishna? Right? So it wouldn't be. So that's the position. Now, from this is that the living entity comes to the material platform because of the desire for controlling and enjoying. Right? And now, when we take up all these philosophies, the living entity wants to maintain that position of control and enjoy. Because it's the subtlest. People will perceive of the gross, they'll perceive of the subtle, but they won't perceive of the car and the sharir, or I'm the controller and enjoyer. And so, they try to maintain philosophies based on that. Right? So, that being the foundation of the philosophy, it has to be always wrong. So now, in this, because there's no devotion, they can't see the Lord. If you don't see the Lord, all you're dealing with is Prakriti and the Jiva, or Chit, a Chit, no Ishwara. Does that make sense? Yes. Now, but the point is we see there is control, there is action, there is like that. So that means who's the Ishwara?
Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah, so it has to be Prakriti or the Jiva. Now, the problem with it, because we have to remember, I'm the controller and enjoyer, right? So now part of being the controller is I'm never wrong. Right? You know, as they pointed out their arguments, the jiva will always act for their own benefit. Why would they do something that's not beneficial for them? Right? So in that way, all the things that happen to you that are bad has to be someone else's fault. And so it can't be the jiva, it has to be Prakriti. Now the problem comes, Prakriti is dead matter, so therefore you have to attribute to it consciousness, that control, that action, all these different things. You see, this is what they're doing. So the Vedanta Sutra is going through all the different options that anybody can in making mistake on understanding the Upanishads and the philosophy, that how they're putting it together. So you're going to have the positions of the jivas, and how there means the jivas, the material nature, and the Lord. So to some of them, they're like the Shankya, they're fully atheistic, so there is no God at all in this. The other ones, to some degree, then the Supreme is there, but only on the platform of Brahman, and only that unchanging and unlimited aspect. Does that make sense? So there may be that sanction, that control, but that's on this upper platform, but on the, you know, the practical, then they look at it from, you know, in other words, we're just being practical. Everybody makes that claim. Right? You know, it doesn't matter what the position is. Does that make sense? So then, what we're trying to do is see this proper relationship. So there'll be either even in the definition of what is the jiva, what is the material energy, what is the Lord, there'll be some mistake. But on top of that, then the relationship between them, that will be your major mistake. Because when you accept the Chinta Beta Beta Tattva, then all the aspects of the philosophy make sense. So when you're dealing with what mundane philosophy, the difficulty is they're trying to make the inconceivable logical. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? But the problem is inconceivable is beyond the intelligence. So, yeah. So So because of that, they want to make it that no through my intelligence that I can understand. Because there's no faith that, okay, if we're dealing with God who's beyond the material creation, that means it would not be inconsistent or illogical to say that God's potencies are inconceivable. Right? And because it's inconceivable and God's beyond and inconceivable, that means knowing about God can only be done through devotion. Only through Him revealing Himself. And He only reveals Himself if there is devotion. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. So then what you're dealing with is all these different, because of their philosophical point. So when we say, Vaisheshika and Gotama and all these, they're taking that it's through logic you can understand everything, or through the atomic theory, or like this and that. So they have their aspects. Then within that, to match that philosophy, then they define the jiva, the material energy, and God. And then they'll have their process, they'll have their result. Does that make sense? So it's a combination of all this what makes what you'd say your philosophy. So when we're dealing in the Dasa Mool, then the Achinta Beta Beta Tattva, that's the philosophy that holds the whole thing together. Right? So you have the basis of that is Shastra. And so we're only talking about the six schools that are based on Shastra. Outside of that, it is dealt with, but they don't accept Shastra, like the Buddhists and others like that. So then you have, you know, your qualities of the Lord, qualities of the Jiva, you know, material nature is an energy of the Lord. Then that's all held together by a Chintaveda-Veda-Tattva. That's how then its approach is applied. That's the practical. In other words, a Chintaveda-Veda-Tattva, that's the practical. Then, because of that understanding, then that defines your Prayojana, right? So if he's the Supreme Lord, we're the servant, and devotion's the natural, then developing love is the Prayojana. Then you have the process in which you can cultivate that devotion. Does that make sense? So that's what we're dealing with. And then there's so many ways they can make mistakes because it's controller and enjoyer. So who's controlling, who's enjoying? So we saw that there was so many things about how the jiva is and then, or how the jiva can't be. And therefore, if he can't be, then the material nature, so it's like this. If the jiva is controlling, the material nature is not. If material nature is controlling, jiva is not. And it's not that they can't have both points in their philosophy.
Why not?
Because it's like this. If it comes to enjoying, who should enjoy? Right, the jivas. But when things go wrong, whose fault is that? Material nature. Right? And if that doesn't work, okay, then it's God's fault. So the whole idea is it's just the mundane platform will always revolve around these. That's why it's in the basics, it's very simple. It's just whether they want to enjoy from that or whether they want to control from that. Right? So in controlling, that will get your enjoyment. And in enjoying, you have to control. So the karmis, they want to enjoy, you have to control to get to there. The jnanis, they want to control, but, you know, that will give them enjoyment. Does that make sense? You know, so one applies practically through action and the other through knowledge. Like that. So one's the enjoyment, one's the renunciation. So for getting out of the material world, the path of jnana is closer because it actually is based on getting out. But the problem is it only just gets you out at best. Right? So that's the weakness. But the process of getting up to the viraja is basically the same. But whether they get past the viraja is another thing. You know, it's kind of like, what do you call it? You know, the guy takes everybody around for 40 years and gets them to the place, but he doesn't go across the border. Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is they don't quite get there. Does that make sense? Yes.
All right, sometimes we describe what surrounds us as Prakriti, and sometimes we say it's Brahman. So what's the difference, actually?
Prakriti is what you're seeing. The forms and all that you're seeing are Prakriti.
Yeah.
That, you know, so the matter, the earth, water, fire, air, and ether, in these forms that you're seeing, that is matter.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're perceiving that with the senses and the mind. You know, analyzing with the intelligence like this. That's all dead matter. Now, that those forms are there, and they have a particular nature that can do certain things and act in those ways, that's Krishna's potency. Right?
Yeah.
That's what's beyond that. That's what makes it all work. That's why it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the material nature is his transformation of his energy, so the energy is non-different from him, so it is him.
Yeah.
Right? But the transformation part is his energies. In other words, he is the basis of all of it, but that you're seeing the manifestation of the transformation, that's the energies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both. So that's why, you know, so being non-different from the Lord, therefore the material nature is Brahman. Right? At the same time as your self-realization means you're trying to see the Brahman past the external energy Brahman. So the Jiva Brahman and the Supreme Pine Para Brahman. So that's done. You know, so it's all transcendental. And if that's appreciated, we see all the practical things work. Right? It's just like if it's Krishna, that means he has his nature. And in any particular situation, then he's manifesting certain qualities and certain, you know, actions, certain results. But it's him, right? So even though that's manifest in his form through the material nature as the universal form, it's still him and it's still going to act according to his nature, right? Therefore, in dealing with everything, then yukta vairagya becomes the main element, right? So we're engaging everything in Krishna's service, right? So that engagement is without attachment and is connected to Krishna. So yukta vairagya means how we apply achinta veda veda tattva, right? In the practical, in our dealings with the world. So then if that's appreciated, then that means we don't make up the social system. We don't make up the economic system. You know, the knowledge, language, all the, we don't make any of this up. How things work, the laws of that, we don't make any of this up. It's already there. It's already Krishna. Therefore, then if it's about Krishna and it's about pleasing Krishna, then we will deal with the material energy because it is Krishna, how Krishna is dealing in that position. Right? And we will deal in such a way with devotion to do that to please Krishna. Therefore, if there's an opportunity to engage the material nature in a particular endeavor, but it's not something that we, in our position, could please Krishna with, we wouldn't be involved. Does that make sense? Like Dattatreya. He's wandering around. He has nothing to do with whatever's going. And so at night, he's going to rest somewhere. Right? So where does he end up resting? Right? That means in the story in Pingala's, you know, yard somewhere. Right? Now, there is, he's in a masculine form, she's in a feminine form. So there is the opportunity for the masculine-feminine interaction based on, you know, a wide variety of options. But he being a sage, then none of those options other than just teacher and student are, you know, useful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So therefore, he only acts on that platform. And because of that, he gets a place to rest, and she becomes self-realized. Works out. Win-win. That's it. So that's it. 11th canto is the original win-win. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. Is that he's only that much. Right? But you see then in the 6th canto with Priyavrata and others, then they're kings, so they're married and their interaction with their wives then takes on a different aspect. But it's just you're dealing with the nature, the energies according to how they function because they're non-different than Krishna. Does that make sense? So that makes all the social things work because we're not the body, so what is the body? What nature does it have? What does it do? Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say, you get a new gadget. And so the first thing is, well, what does it do? How does it work? You know, what results can it get? You want to know all that. Then knowing that, that's how you use it. Right? You know, when you figure out, you know, how the iPod works, then do you use it as a screwdriver? You know, or do you pick up the screwdriver and hello, hello? You know, no.
In the future.
In the future. Okay, yeah. Just one screwdriver does everything, right? Or what is it? Those things that all go together.
New small gadget.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So therefore, you analyze what body you have, what physically it has, what kind of senses, what kind of mind, what kind of intelligence. You know, where we're at in our consciousness. And then there we situate ourselves. Does that make sense? And then that's how it works. And then everybody else has their position and how much we can understand from their position. Then that's how then we act with them. But it's all based on, it's all Krishna. It's his energies, but it's still Krishna's energies. And so they function in a very specific way. It's not that I can do whatever I want with it. And so it makes the whole system work very well. So one can, therefore, engage in one's occupational duties. It will get results, and from that you can maintain your ashram. So that you can, therefore, be engaged in self-realization. And so all this works very nicely without any, lessening of the opportunities of self-realization. Since everything is Krishna, therefore you can become God consciousness by contemplating the seat opposite you on the train. You know, why is it a seat? Why does it hold things up? How does that, does that make sense? So there's nothing that you can't be God conscious from. Does that make sense? Yeah. So what gets in the way is all these distractions that we have on the nature of the soul, the nature of the material nature, and the nature of Krishna. You know, and how those are held together. And because of that, because of attachments to karma and jnana, then we get distracted. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the Vedanta Sutra is just dealing with those one at a time. So we're good. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar refutes the Shankyite's claim that Prakriti is the agent. Right, because their whole thing is about Prakriti and about the 24 elements, how it's all happening, and it's all, she's doing it all. Earlier, the Shankyites professed the Jiva to be all-pervading. Hence, when an all-pervading Prakriti is in contact with all-pervading Jivas, a predefined result is associated to the mass of Jivas, such as all-happy or all-miserable. However, this is not observable. Hence, Prakriti cannot be the agent. Sri Govindavasya. Siddhanta. It was previously shown that if the Jiva were all-pervading, awareness would be unrestricted. Similarly, because Prakriti is all-pervading and thus common to all humans, actions would not be restricted to an individual. All actions would be for all to enjoy, or one person not acting would mean none of the Jivas would enjoy. Right? So you have some real problems. Either everybody gets all the benefits, or one guy doesn't work and nobody gets any benefits. Right? And most likely it'll be the second one. All actions would be for all. No. Yeah. You cannot avoid this problem by saying that there would be lack of common experience for all Jivas, because some Jivas would be distant and thus not have contact with Prakriti. Right? Because Prakriti is everywhere. And if you're talking about all pervading of the Jiva and Prakriti, then the problem comes is that there is no distance. If you're all pervading, there is no distance. Right? Yeah. Yes.
Can we say that most of those six philosophers, except maybe Karma Mimamsa, Esma, as such, they all theory, they only deal with theory. Nothing practical is applied.
Well, I mean, it depends upon, for someone on the platform of Gyan, that knowledge and contemplating that knowledge and applying that in your life is practical for them.
Because whatever they say here, it's just mental concoction, because they can't really applied.
No, that's there, but you see, is also, let's say, for the karmis, that if I do my work, I'll get results, I'll enjoy and be happy. Mm-hmm. That's also theory. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a matter of whether they're interested in fruitive results or in renunciation or a liberation. That's all, but the same principle is there, is that the basis of their philosophy is erroneous. It doesn't actually work. Mm. Otherwise, the Jivas would all be happy. They would have already worked it out. Mm. But they never have and never will. Right? On the material platform. Mm. So, yeah. In your philosophy, I think this is the Shankyate, all Jivas are constantly in contact with all of Prakriti, since all Jivas are all-pervading. So if they're all pervading, they're in contact with all of Prakriti. So there's no question of distance. Right? So that means then all aspects of Prakriti, they'd be experiencing. Right? Because they're in contact with everything. What you're in contact is what you experience. If you're in contact with everything, you experience everything. And since everybody is in contact with everything, everybody would have the same experience.
Same thing.
Yeah, and so therefore there's no real individuality, there's no, you know, it creates so many problems. They're trying to solve a problem, but they create more problems. That's the material platform. Whatever you try to do on the material platform to solve a problem creates more problems.
Yeah.
And since you're talking about Krishna is all expanding, ever expanding, you know, it's unlimited, therefore is that's the aspect of profit. Right? You perform an action, it gets you more results than what you put in. Right? So that means it works on all levels. So even on the platform of problems, you put in the endeavor for solving problems, then the result is you get more problems. Right? Just like you have money, you put in the effort and money, you get more money. Right? So you have problems, you work with problems on the material platform, it will give you more problems. You always get profit. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you perform pious activities, you get more piety. You perform sinful activities, you get more sin. Right? So it always works, because it's Krishna. He's ever expanding. Right?
Positive.
Yes. See the positive side. Yes. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.32. There are two parties, namely the theists and the atheists. The theist, who accepts the supersoul, finds the spiritual cause through mystic yoga. The Shankyite, however, who merely analyzes the material elements, comes to a conclusion of a personalism and does not accept a supreme cause, whether Bhagavan, Paramatma, or even Brahman. Because they're accepting Prakriti as it. So they're not understanding Prakriti as an aspect of Brahman. You know, as one of the energies. So, yeah. Instead, he is preoccupied with the superfluous external activities of material nature. Ultimately, however, both parties demonstrate the absolute truth because although they offer opposing statements, their object is the same ultimate cause. They are both approaching the same Supreme Brahman to whom I offer my respectful obeisances. So they're trying to get back to that Prakriti. They're trying to get back to that aspect of Prakriti being the shelter, being that balance, being that, you know, aspect. But that's still Krishna. Right? Those qualities of Prakriti are still Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's something separate. So even that's there, they're all trying to get to the same place. You know, so therefore we offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord, who is that position or that person that everyone's trying to get to. So, does that make sense? So that's how you see is that they don't, there's no need of fault finding. It's just a matter of what's correct and what's not. And why do you want to correct? Because then you can be engaged in devotional service. Right? So right and wrong doesn't actually have any value. It's only how it connects to Krishna. That's right. What doesn't connect to Krishna, that's what's wrong. So, Sutta 2.3.36. Shakti, viparyayat. Shakti, of power, viparyayat, because of difference. If Prakriti were the agent, then there would be a reversal of the capacity to enjoy it. To enjoy. It would have to be taken from the jiva and given to Prakriti. Right? So then here's another problem. If Prakriti is the agent, then that means Prakriti gets to enjoy the results of the action, not the jiva. Right? So you have to think about that one very carefully.
Something like the Rasa Guru Maharaj. Who's enjoying the Rasa Guru Maharaj?
Yeah. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar refutes the Shankyates on the footing of contradicting their own doctrine. Previously, the opponents claimed that the jiva is an enjoyer. However, when they attribute the agency to Prakriti, the jiva no longer remains the enjoyer, but Prakriti becomes the enjoyer. The swap is unseen, hence Prakriti is not the agent. Sri Govinda Bhashya, Siddhanta. If Prakriti were the agent, there would be a reversal of the capacity of being the enjoyer, which is fixed in the jiva. It would mean that Prakriti would be the enjoyer of its acts. But this would contradict the Shankya doctrine, Purusha Asti Bhoktri Bhavat. the jiva exists because it is an enjoyer, right? I enjoy, therefore I am. Okay. Why not? The jiva Shankhya Karika 27. Since it is impossible for the enjoyer to be anyone other than the performer of the act, one must accept that the capacity to enjoy would reside in Prakriti. If Prakriti is the agent. Right? Yes.
Why is it that only the performer of the act must be the enjoyer?
Because you're making things go the way you want, so the results are yours according to your particular interest.
Okay, so you're manipulating things to go your way.
How are you using the term manipulation?
You're manipulating something outside of yourself.
Yes, but that's what goes on.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
See, it gets confusing if you're dealing with, two living entities, right? Because they're both manipulating each other, right? But when it comes to material nature, then it's not like that. Right? You manipulate the car how you want. So who's enjoying? You or the car? Now, if the car is doing the driving, that means it enjoys. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why when you end up in the wrong place, because you allowed the car to drive itself, then the car has a chuckle. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11, 5-6. Thus, my dear Uddhava, in the same material body we find opposing characteristics, such as great happiness and misery. That is because both the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally liberated, as well as the conditioned soul, are within the body. I shall now speak to you about their different characteristics. By chance, two birds have made a nest together in the same tree. The two birds are friends and are of a similar nature. One of them, however, is eating the fruits of the tree, whereas the other, who does not eat the fruits, is in a superior position due to his potency. Footnote 60. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, as birds are different from the tree, the jiva and paramatma are different from the body. Right? So you have three. It's always the three. The jiva, material nature, and the Lord. Right? They are friends because they work together. There's no reason for them being together in the tree, since one is attached to making a nest and eating the fruit, while the other is not attached to making a nest nor eating the fruit. Vriksha, or tree, means that which is cut. Vrishyate, by Maya. It refers to the body, which is destroyed by Maya. Shruti says, Urdva mulam avak shaka vriksha yo veda samprati. One who knows this tree with its roots upwards and branches downwards becomes liberated. Kata Upanishad 2.3.1. Smriti also says, Urdva mulam adashakam ashvatam prahur avyayam. They say this world is an indestructible pipala tree with root upwards and branches downwards.
Pipala is banyan?
It's a kind of banyan. Pipala is the one, it's a banyan tree, it has the leaves that are shaped like the heart. That kind of one? Like that. There's one at the corner here? Like that.
Yeah, because it's always says the banyan tree.
Yeah, it is what it, because there's six kinds of banyan trees. So it's one of them.
Mm.
Like that. But you see, that's the one that kind of grows anywhere. You know, the one that's growing on your water tank? That's a people tree. Bhagavad Gita 5.1. And in this body, in this tree, body, a nest or house, the heart, has been made out of attachment and detachment. Of the two, the jiva enjoys the fruits of karma produced by the body. Paramatma, however, does not eat, but is satisfied in his own bliss by the strength of his jnana shakti. Shruti says, Dva suparna suya sayuja shakaya samanam vriksham parishas vajate tayor anya pipalam svadvat yanashvan anyo vicha kashiti. Two birds who are friends embrace each other in the same tree. One bird eats the sweet fruit and the other bird remains without eating. Mundaku Upanishad 3.1.1. Shardarta Darshini 11.11.6. Sutra Prakashika.
Sutra.
Oh, okay. Sutra 2.3.37. Samad Yabhavat Cha. Samadhi, of liberation, abhavat, because of the non-existence, cha, also. Prakriti cannot be the agent, because then there could be no samadhi, the conception of being different from Prakriti, Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar explains that the concept of samadhi, which is the goal of liberation, would be absent. The Prakriti would be the agent, since one, Prakriti is inert, and two, it is impossible for Prakriti to separate itself from Prakriti. Hence, Prakriti is not the agent. Shri Govinda Basu.
Prakriti to separate Prakriti from itself.
Because when you're in samadhi, then you're separating yourself from the body, from the material nature, you're identifying your position. Like that. So, since the miseries are coming up from interaction with material nature, how can material nature be the enjoyer? Because to do that, they would have to separate themselves from the results of their enjoyment, of what we call enjoyment. Means, we're absorbed in material energy because of desire, right? Now, by meditation, you can separate yourself from that, and therefore, you don't suffer. Right? Because no desire, no suffer. Right? So now, material nature, then if it's the enjoyer, how could it be the enjoyer if enjoyment actually comes by separating oneself from the results of the material energy, and by that detachment, then one enjoys? How could material nature separate itself from itself? That's like separating yourself from the soul. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Quite subtle, no? But that's the whole point, is that if you have a plan, if that doesn't work, then what do you start to do? Yes. And then? Plan C. Yeah, and it keeps going till it's really, really strange. Yeah, so that's what they're doing here.
It's like the jiva is a pure spirit soul, and it has the body, which is the prakriti. So if the jiva, which is a pure spirit soul, wants liberation, then it has to undergo the method of performing all those devotional service acts and get liberated from prakriti, that is the material body. But if prakriti performs meditation, then whom should it get liberated from? Itself only. That is not seen.
That makes sense. But I'm saying that's how they think. So it means we're just preparing one for this, because otherwise then... these things come down into our practical life. We use these as a basic philosophy to then present that someone else, you know, is doing something and like that.
So basically from this we can say that jiva can separate itself from the body. And
yes.
The Lord, he also separates himself from everything.
Yes.
The only prakriti, she cannot separate herself from herself.
Herself.
Because
no.
This is herself.
Yes. That's the whole point.
And secondly, she's inert. That's most important.
Yeah. Also, so it's not going to do anything. You have to be conscious anyway to meditate, but they're just putting aside the point of consciousness and just saying, anyway, you couldn't do it. Because if you break it down on all the other points, then the one point of main contention then is more open for discussion. Shri Govinda Basu, Siddhanta. The doctrine of Prakriti as the agent is useless, because then there could be no samadhi, the goal of liberation. Samadhi means understanding. I am different from Prakriti. That would not be possible, because it would be impossible to separate oneself from oneself. Right? Prakriti, the agent from Prakriti. And because Prakriti is insentient, incapable of thinking such a thing, therefore, it is proved that the jiva is the agent, right? So, the Prakriti can't isn't conscious, to concentrate, and even concentrating, you'd have to separate yourself from yourself. Right? Because that's what liberation is. So since they're trying to liberate themselves, then that means Prakriti, being the agent, would have to be able to liberate itself from itself.
Yeah. So when they say that, when they prescribe that the Prakriti is the agent, then they are free to say that the prohibitions and the injunctions of the scriptures don't belong to the jiva.
Oh, okay. Okay. Saying that if you're saying that the Prakriti is the doer, then the prohibitions belong to Prakriti, not to the jiva. So the jiva can do whatever they want. Mm. Because then the material nature is doing it anyway. Convenient. Bhagavatam verse reference.
This is what Sutrakar is saying. That he is not bringing in the Supreme Lord yet. He only shows their erroneous ideas regarding the Prakriti, comparing it to the jiva.
Yes, that's because he will eventually. Mm. Because if you're dealing in the logic, then you follow that process of logic until you get to there. Mm. Right? But that's the advantage of the Bhagavatam, is that at every point it's making the connection to the Supreme Lord. That's the difference. So instead of going through the whole process and at the end then making that connection, like you've gone through the whole process of Astanga Yoga, then you get up to meditation on the Super Soul, then you understand the position of the Lord and yourself as a servant of the Lord, then you take up bhakti then. It could work for a few. But the process that is given is that at every point in the yoga, you know, development, that you're seeing the connection to the Lord. So therefore, the bhakti yoga is going alongside the karma and jnana yoga that you're performing. Because it's actually what makes them work. So even on the material platform, bhakti is the only thing that makes karma and jnana work. So let alone on the devotional platform, when your pursuance is of bhakti. So it's through the support of bhakti, you're able to take advantage of these secondary aspects and engage them in the purpose of bhakti. Is that? Srimad Bhagavatam 325.15. The stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditional life. But when that same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. And so the liberation comes anyway. You think, so you don't need the material energy. 522, Srimad Bhagavatam. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the Personality of Godhead, one should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas. So that's the... So by association, one can develop these positions. So if you want liberation or you want devotion, you still have to serve the Mahatmas. Right? That's just how it works. And then in principle, that works even on the material platform, the external platform in karma. Then those who are superior to us in whatever area of interest, then they're respected. Right? Because in this world, knowledge is respected. So someone who has knowledge is more is respected. Mm-hmm. Right? Influence is appreciated. So someone with money, you know, with knowledge, skills, facility, beauty, you know, all these different things, whatever they are, someone has those, you have to respect. So that's why it's part of the culture. But it's naturally there. In devotion, they respect all living entities. Therefore, you don't have to have the rules. That's what's meant by the person who's liberated. The rules are unimportant. Because by serving Krishna, you see all living entities as connected to Krishna. Therefore, you're respectful to all living entities, no matter how insignificant. Therefore, you already have whatever benefits are gained from the social context of respect. Plus more, because they only respect those positions. But those are the major positions of Krishna's position of respect. But all living entities can do something. Right? You know, it's like you have a dung beetle. Okay? Now they can put together a ball of cow dung that is way bigger than themselves. Right? And roll it all over wherever they want. We couldn't do that. Right? So, you know, you got to give them respect. Somebody said?
That's why in Egypt they worship those.
Yeah. Because, see, they got something. Yeah. Other aspects, maybe not, but I think sun, moon, and dung beetles, right? Oh, that's a scarab.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, really? It sounds a lot more classy when you say scarab beetle than dung beetle.
That's why you play Gyana and material attachment goes away.
Yeah. Wow. Oh yeah, and they're all down in Africa, right? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Sutta 2:338. Yata taksho bhayata. Yata as cha and taksha carpenter. Ubhayata in both ways. Like a carpenter, the jiva is the doer in two ways. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar elucidates an example that the jiva is the agent, one, by its own shakti, and two, assisted by its instruments. Occasionally, the material body is described as an agent. Since the jiva identifies passionately with Prakriti in the form of body and considers himself to be the exclusive factor, ignoring the other four factors in performance of an action, right? Because in Gita, it describes all the points of action. Right? You have the place, you have the endeavor, you have all these things. However, between the jiva and Prakriti, the agency is attributed to the jiva primarily because of prevalence of thinking, feeling, and willing, and secondarily to Prakriti. Because we know behind that, because the Lord is conscious through his potencies, then the material nature acts as an agent. But it's only under his control. So primarily we're looking at the jivas. Like as we said, the material nature does not need to be liberated. She's already liberated. Right? So the jiva is trying to, so then you're looking at the aspect of the jiva thinking that they are the controller of everything. Right? They're the doer. So that's where the prominence is looking at that aspect. Then the secondary is that of the material energy. Conversely, the actions of bhakti performed by the devotees are a product of the chit potency devoid of gunas. Thus it is proved that the jiva is an agent via his own shakti in the gunas. Shigovindabhasya. The carpenter in doing his carpentry is an agent in two ways, by using his own shakti and holding his axe, and through the instruments like the axe. The jiva is the agent by his own shakti in grasping the pranas, by using the pranas to grasp other things. Though the action originates from the pure jiva, it is said figuratively that the material body is the agent because of the strong influences of the gunas. Thus it is said, Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmashu. The jiva, identifying with prakriti in the form of his body, experiences happiness and distress, which are born from prakriti, by taking birth in various bodies of devatas and animals. This is caused by his desires for objects made of the gunas. Bhagavad Gita 13:22. This explains why there are statements in scripture calling the gunas the agent. One who sees the jiva as the sole agent is called a fool. Bhagavad Gita 3:27. Because though action depends on five factors, the person thinks of himself as the only factor. One cannot take a superficial meaning of these statements, since a meaning would contradict the statements concerning Jiva's methods of action for liberation in the same work. The statement, "he does not kill and is not killed," simply indicates that the results of killing, being cut, is an impossible act to perform on the Atma, since this would contradict the eternal nature of the Atma. The statement does not deny that the Atma is an agent, since this was previously proved. But we're not saying he's not an agent, it just means you can't affect the soul. Therefore, the knowledge of the soul is the most important. Right? Because these other things are temporary. One has to know the difference between what's temporary and what's eternal. Right? So when we're dealing with the jiva, we're talking about eternal. But now when these others, they're thinking that the nature of the jiva is a temporary thing. Right? They're produced from material energy. So it's temporary. And then they're taking the prakriti as eternal when it's temporary. Right? Means the manifestation that's here and all that. And if we take it that, no, it does have the eternal aspect, but that's as an energy of the Lord. But its manifestation is not. When the Lord breathes in, there is no prakriti. Right? The jivas aren't manifest, nothing's manifest. Just the Lord is there. That's what it means. He's there alone, no one else. Right? You know? Yeah. That action which the devotees perform in this life and the next, worship of the Lord, is without gunas, because their actions predominated by bhakti, which is a function of the chit shakti, has destroyed the gunas in this life. And because the devotee attains liberation, goes beyond the gunas in the next life. Right, so he's working under the chit potency, which is the internal potency. So that means even though you're using the form of the external potency, the purpose that how you're using it is the internal. So you're working under internal potency. Right, that's the yukta vairagya. Right, you're engaging the external potency, but under the internal potency. So, you're getting the results of that internal potency, or devotion, at the same time as using that external potency. You're getting the results of that external potency. Right? So you get both. That's the point. Bhakti includes everything else. Right? Does that make sense? That faith, when that's there, then one can focus on bhakti. If that faith is weak, then one will think other things are important. Without these things, we can't have devotion. Right, you know, say, so you can give up all these things, just do devotion. You know, hand goes up. No, but you know, if we don't have money, we can't maintain ourselves, so how can we do bhakti? So what are we saying? Bhakti is dependent upon karma. So it means we don't have faith that bhakti includes all the other things. You understand? So it's a very common aspect. Or without knowledge, and if you don't know, then you know, how can it be devotional? You know, or without, you know, good qualities and the moral and all this, if we don't have the good qualities and it can't happen, then again, the same problem. So we think that bhakti is dependent upon these, when actually bhakti is what makes these work. Is that yeah. With this intention, the Lord speaks, quote, "A performer of action who is free of attachment is in sattva. A performer of action overcome by sense objects is in rajas. And a performer of action who is devoid of inquiry is in tamas. But a performer of action who has taken shelter of me alone is beyond the gunas." Right? So you have these positions, and then theirs, who takes shelter of him, is beyond. Right? You engage the gunas, but you're not controlled by them. If the Lord's not controls the gunas, but is not controlled by them, we also engage the mode, but we're not controlled by them. So we take shelter of the Lord. So that's from Bhagavatam 11:25-26. The experience of enjoyment or suffering belongs to the pure jiva. Smriti says, Purusha sukha dukhanam bhoktritve hetur uchate. The jiva is said to be a cause, being the enjoyer of happiness and distress. Bhagavad Gita 13:21. Although the perception of the jiva takes place when in association with the gunas, the jiva, which has the conscious form, takes predominance, not the gunas, because it is contrary to the gunas' nature to be the enjoyer, being insentient. The jiva's desire to be an enjoyer becomes the cause of its experience of happiness and distress because it has self-awareness as its nature. Therefore, it can be concluded that the jiva is the agent with the help of the gunas and by its own shakti. The Shruti also says, Eshahi drashta sprashta shrota. The jiva is the seer, the toucher, the hearer. Using the example of the carpenter, the idea that the jiva as a perpetual agent is refuted, since he decides when to work. So we're establishing that jiva is the one that's the doer. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:2:45. In the body, the most important substance is the life air, but that also is neither the listener nor the speaker. Beyond even the life air, the soul also can do nothing, for the supersoul is actually the director, in cooperation with the individual soul. The supersoul, conducting the activities of the body, is different from the body and living force. Sutra
2:339. When we say by its own shakti, the jiva,
Basically means that the consciousness here means the desire. Mm-hmm. It's not that they have so many shaktis, and that it's just that means
so
by their
the
own energy.
And the instruments, that's the senses, we can say?
Yes, the instruments are the senses, and then that goes through the body. You know, using the mind, using the intelligence. That's why he keeps saying the pure jiva is the enjoyer alone. Not the mind, not the intelligence, not the senses. It's the jiva who's identifying with it, therefore that experience of it goes to them. Right? Because if we say the body's enjoying, then that we were saying material nature is enjoying. But it's not. The jiva is the one.
That's why we can say that the Ichha Shakti can be either to please Krishna or to please myself.
Yes. Sutta 2:339, Shamshaya, so the doubt. Is the jiva's agency independent or dependent? Purvapaksha, so their argument. The jiva is an independent agent since injunctions and prohibitions in the scripture take on meaning if this is true. Examples are as follows. Sarga kamo yajeta. A person desiring swarga should perform sacrifice. Apastamba shrauta sutra. Krishna Yajurved 10:2:1. Tasmat Brahmana Sutram Na Pipet Papmanots Sam Shri Ja. Therefore, the Brahmana should not drink liquor and not commit sin. He who is ordered by scriptures is he who can perform or not perform the action using his own intelligence. This is refuted in the following sutra. Parat tu tach shrutehe. Parat, from the supreme. To, but, tat, of that, shrute, from the scriptures. The jiva's ability as an agent arises from the Supreme Lord. Since this is stated in the Shruti, 61. Right, so, is he dependent or independent? Now they're taking it, that's the problem, is that, they're saying that, no, it's the material nature is doing. They only show that it's not, now it's a jiva, back to the jiva, but now what's the position of the jiva? Is he dependent or independent? So you see, they want to maintain their independence. Right? So they don't accept that position. Footnote 61. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the Supreme Lord is the ultimate cause for awarding the results to the jiva. Rajanath. If by his actions, karma, the individual soul creates his own pleasures and sufferings, what does the Supreme Personality of Godhead do? Babaji. The individual soul is the immediate cause, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate cause. By his various actions, the individual soul makes himself qualified to receive various results. However, he does not have the power to simply take them. All results must be given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The ultimate cause. The Supreme Personality of Godhead gives the results, and the individual soul receives them. Jiva Dharma, chapter 16. Right, so it's ultimately the Lord. So when we're talking about he is the doer, it means that he's the immediate. The Lord is the ultimate. Does that make sense? You know, just like the material nature is an agency, but ultimately it's the Supreme Lord. Right? It's by his desire, then the transformation of the energies happen.
too much. Can we say that agent means representation, representative, something?
Yeah, representative or instrument or, yeah, probably representative would be good. But at the same time, is because of the consciousness, the jiva identifies with it, therefore he's given the results. Because
yes.
For the Lord, if the jivas were not interested in acting separately than himself, there'd be no need of manifesting the external potency.
Yes.
It's there. It's just one of his potencies.
Yes.
But there'd be no need of creating the mahatattva.
Yes.
That's only because the jivas are there. That's why it said that the jivas maintain the universe. Because
yes.
Otherwise, why would you do that?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, why does the government keep a prison? Right? Because there's qualified persons to be awarded, you know, free room and board in the prison. Right? You know, so that's what's there. But now if everybody behaved properly, there'd be no need of a prison. But not that. The concept of the prison is not part of the government's structure. It's just there's no need of manifesting it if there are no criminals.
Mm.
Right? So if there's no criminal mentality, you don't need to have it. But it's not that it's not there immediately as soon as there is. Is that Sutra Kashika. The Sutrakar clarifies that the jiva functions as an agent since the Lord resides within the jiva as Paramatma. Hence, the jiva depends on the Supreme Lord for his agency. Right? So, the jiva is the agent, but dependent upon the Supreme Lord. So, this is the point this doesn't want to be accepted, because if you accept yes. this, then what is our position? What's our relationship with the Supreme Lord? That of servant
yes.
and master. Right? So then, if that is there, then we should be doing everything in connection to the Lord. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that's not of interest
yes.
to the conditioned living entity. He wants to be the controller and enjoyer.
Yes.
Right? So that's why these philosophies all avoid these points. Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. The word too indicates a refutation of the doubt. The jiva's ability to act arises from the Supreme Lord, Parat. Why? Because the Shruti says so. Anta pravishta shashta jananam. The controller has entered within all people. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1.10. Ya atmani tishtan natmanam antaro yama yati. He who resides in the jiva controls the jiva from within. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.7.22. Esha eva sadhu karma karayati. The Lord makes the jiva perform good actions. Kaushitaki Upanishad 3.8. Bhagavatam first reference. 6.12.9. Our sensory prowess, mental power, bodily strength, living force, immortality, and mortality are all subject to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing this, foolish people think the dull material body to be the cause of their activity. Sutta 2.3.40. Purvapaksha. Another doubt. Let that be. Okay, we'll leave that one. However, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the actual performer's actions, then the orders and prohibitions of the scriptures are all meaningless. The scriptures can give orders and prohibitions only if the individual spirit soul is independent and thus has the power to make choices. Right? Because it always comes back to, do we have free will or is it all predestiny? It's always that eternal, unsatisfactorily answerable question. Right? Because we want to hear that I am independent and it's all up to me. But at the same time, as all what's going wrong has to be someone else's fault. Right? You understand? That's how you get these total contradictions in one philosophy. Right? Because if you're independent, it's all yours. No, but anything wrong can't be mine. It has to be someone else's. Right? So that's the problem. If this is said, then the author of the sutras gives the following reply. Krita prayatna pekshas tu vihita prasiddha vayar yadhi vyaha. Okay, so this is the verse. Okay. Krita, done. Pratyatna, effort. Apeksha, relation, to, but. Vihita, ordered. Prasiddha, forbidden. Na, not. Vai, yarta, meaninglessness. Adibhya, beginning. No, because the Lord acts after considering the jiva's efforts. The injunctions and the prohibitions are not useless, and the Lord is not liable to the charge of cruelty. Because depending upon what the interest of the jiva, that's then how the Lord acts. Right? The jiva wants something, the Lord then will work in that direction. But it depends upon what work they're doing and what is their previous work, the effect of that. Right? So previous work has its effect, the karma. So do they deserve that? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that if all that together, then the Lord then sanctions whatever results will come through the material energy.
Not as mathematics involved.
Sorry?
Not as mathematics involved, karma and
everything.
Because the Lord decides whether
he deserves or not. The Lord decides, yes, there's or not. But it's always in the area of their interest. Right? Someone, let's say, wants money. So they make an endeavor. So now you take into consideration, are they making an endeavor that will generate money? Right? In other words, the pot, you're dealing with money in the authorized way according to the laws of nature. And two, what's his past, position on money? How has he dealt in the past? So if he's dealt properly with money, that he's supposed to get money, even if he's not doing so well, he'll get money. But it's not due to that work, because that work is not giving him now his money. That's giving him his future money. But because he's working improperly with money now, he won't get any in the future. But for now, he has the karma to get money from his previous acting with money properly, so he's getting money. Does that make sense? Or he's acted improperly in the past, so now even though he's acting properly, he won't get. Right? He's doing all the right things, but it doesn't work. You know, you hear the guy who sets up business four or five times, and then finally it works. Because he didn't have the karma for it. But now that he's doing the proper action and all that, then he's finally getting the results of that. Because previously, he doesn't have that. He's doing the right action, but it's not giving a result now. Why? Because it will give in the future. So on his fifth business endeavor, that gives him the results. Now he's getting the results of properly dealing. Right? And some maybe do their whole life because previously they developed so badly that for this life they won't get results. Does that make sense? Or someone's done so much good work with money that even he does nothing, he gets money. Yeah. Sutra Prakashita. The Sutrakar refutes the objection posed by the opposition that, quote, since the jiva is dependent, shastras would be worthless, end quote. He makes the point clear that the jiva first uses his free will, independence, to act either in dharmic or adharmic way, which then provokes the Lord to award or rebuke the jiva. If this analysis is accepted, then the orders and prohibitions of the scriptures are meaningful. On the other hand, if the Lord compels the jiva to act piously or impiously, and if the jiva, like a stone, has no independence, then the orders of the scriptures to perform pious deeds and avoid impious deeds would be an empty talk and needs to be discarded. This would portray the Lord as cruel, hence it would be construed that the jiva has free will to perform actions, but tangible actions by the jiva manifest only by the Lord's approval. Earlier in Vedanta Sutra 2.134, Vaishamya nair gri nye na sapekshatva tatahi darshayati. It was demonstrated that Brahman as the creator does not have the fault of inequality and cruelty, because the creator carries out creation according to the jiva's karma. Thus, it can be concluded that the Lord's will follows the jiva's will. Footnote 62. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that, quote-unquote, free will and, quote-unquote, consciousness are the attributes that differentiate between matter and spirit. Chid vastu jarato binnam svatan trechchat makam sada pravishtam api mayayam sva sarupam natat tyaj eight. Spirit is different from matter. Spirit has free will. Even when it enters the world of illusions, spirit never loses its nature. What is the spirit nature of spirit? Many times that question is asked. In this material world, one does not find a perfect or complete answer. Right? Because on the material platform, you can't get that. Even though the soul is spiritual, it has now forgotten its own nature. Shackled in Maya's prison, the soul finds it hard to give clear answers about its own nature. The soul's nature is to be a tiny particle of spirit. Although that nature pervertedly reflected in the material world, the soul never really abandons its own nature. First, the question may be asked, quote, if the spirit soul is different from matter, then the spirit soul must be different from all material things. What is that difference? End quote. First, one should seek the answer to that question. Many qualities may be seen in material things, but free will is never seen in them. Neither is consciousness ever seen in them. Unless the soul is completely restricted in its activities, these two qualities are not covered. They remain manifest. Qualities like heat and liquidity may be seen in material elements like fire and water. But the liquidity of water is not a sign of free will in the water. The water is not liquid of its own accord. Many material elements may be considered, but none of them acts by its own free will. For example, we do not see that fire acts of its own free will. However, in spiritual beings, in souls, even though they may be covered by the material bodies of lowly species like worms and ants, we see free will is present. Walking and walking, an ant considers which way he should go. Then he walks on that path. This power of the ant to think and to choose are signs of free will. We do not see these signs in inert matter. We see them only in spirit, in living beings. Therefore, consciousness and free will are part of the nature of spirit. Of this, there is no doubt. In conclusion, consciousness, free will, and the idea, quote, it is I, end quote, are all parts of this nature of spirit. Even when it enters the material world of five elements, the spirit soul never abandons that nature. Tattva Vivek 2:11.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.